This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today may be all about family and food and, of course, giving thanks. But for an awful lot of people, though, tomorrow is all about shopping. Black Friday is one of the busiest days of the year in retail, especially for electronics. Wiis, LCDs, iPods, and cameras are all very hot again this year. But before you head to the mall at 4 a.m. or go online to shop, we brought in two gadget experts to help figure out what's worth the money, what gizmos are right for little Sally or for Grandma and Grandpa, and which you'd better get out and find first thing tomorrow morning before they sell out. Did you ever try to find a Wii last year? Could have the same problem this year. Later in the hour, advice from the author of A Man's Manual for Holiday Lighting. If you need help decking the halls or hanging lights without blowing out the fuse box, you can drop us an email now. Our address is talk@npr.org. Again, that's for advice on how to hang your holiday lights. But before we decorate, we shop. What's the must-have gizmo on your list this year? Or if you need advice on HD TVs, video games, cell phones, or anything else with a screen or a battery, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And you can send us your comments on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. David Pogue is the personal technology columnist for the New York Times. He joins us by phone from his house in Connecticut. David Pogue, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
And to you, too. Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you about a piece you wrote in the paper this morning where you tout the advantages of a new e-book reader. Now, e-book readers, they're not moving much.
Yeah, every single one so far has flopped miserably. People say, what's wrong with the old book technology, the P-books, the one printed on paper? And so I'm careful to say in this review that if you like the idea of an electronic book, a 10-ounce book that can hold machine that can hold 200 books at a time, then Amazon's new one is by far the best one we've ever seen. It's the Amazon Kindle, as in the verb to light a fire, and it's $400. But what's really cool about it is it gets on the wireless cellular network, so you can buy a book or even email reading material to the device over the wireless network when you're standing in line somewhere, in a doctor's office, in a party when someone says, did you read, blah, 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 you can have it in 60 seconds. Pretty neat.
But if somebody says, did you read the latest Harry Potter, you could have a problem.
Yeah, they've got 90,000 books signed up so far, but Harry Potter is not one of them.
So eventually Amazon is going to go all out to digitize, I guess, everything.
They are, and what's really interesting is they have agreed with the popular consensus that an electronic book shouldn't cost the same as a printed book. It's common sense. There's no physical thing that's manufactured and shipped to you. So every best-selling hardcover for this thing is $10 or less, even if the list price is, $30. So they've got the pricing right on those. And again, this wireless thing, and there's even a web browser on it, by the way, it's free, totally free, no monthly fee, no minimum, nothing. Free for the service.
But you do have to buy any books you want to download.
Well, there are 20,000 free ones, Mark Twain and Edgar Allan Poe and all the dead guys whose copyrights have expired. Those are all available online at Gutenberg.org, and you can send those for free.
What about the feel of it? I mean, one of the things that people have complained about e-books is, I just like the feel of a book in my hand.
Yeah, well, it's not an issue. It's just not an issue with this. It uses the e-ink screen, which, I have to tell you one hilarious thing about this Kindle is by Monday morning when it was unveiled, there were 400 negative reviews on Amazon.com itself for its own product. Interestingly, it hadn't been released yet. So 400 people made their minds up without even trying it. But when you do try it, you discover that the reading experience is actually very pleasant because of this spectacular display technology that looks just like paper. It's hard, it's plastic, and it's also kind of homely, by the way. But it does come in a soft, fuzzy leatherette cover that feels paper back enough like in your hand.
And one of the things, at least according to your column in today's paper, is that for those of us whose eyes get a little tired as the evening wears on, you can just make that print look bigger.
Yeah, choice of six sizes. It's really nice. Definitely one of the perks of an e-book.
Let's welcome our other expert now, Victor Godinez, technology reporter for the Dallas Morning News. He's with us by phone from Ponder in Texas. And thanks for taking time out of your holiday today.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me by.
And you follow TVs pretty closely. Maybe you can clear up a few things for us. Broadcast television switches to digital completely in a little over a year. So if you're buying a new TV, what do you need to keep in mind?
Well, it can get a little bit confusing, but there's really just a couple of main things to keep in mind if you are kind of worried about that digital TV transition. I mean, first of all, if you're getting your TV from cable or satellite, this won't affect you one bit. Really, the only people who have to be worried about this is if you're got the old rabbit ears on top of your set and you're getting your signal over the air. So if you've got a really old TV and you're getting the old analog signal over the air, you're either going to need to buy a new digital TV that can accept the digital signals that they'll be sending out, or you'll be able to get kind of this converter box that'll plug into the back of your old analog set and convert the digital signals that comes in into an analog signal that your TV can display. So it's a good time to be looking for a new TV if you do have an old analog one, because, you know, that change is coming. And given how much the prices are dropping on high-definition televisions, it might be a good time to be taking a look at that.
Well, we have a question about that from Rochelle in Oakland, California. She writes, I would like some help on knowing what to think about when looking at HD TV choices, best brands, best technology, recommendations. What about setup? I have Comcast cable with my old TV now. So any advice for Rochelle?
Well, the first thing I think a lot of people see when they walk into a store is, I mean, there's a bunch of different sizes and a bunch of different technologies, and you don't know, well, do I want a plasma? Do I want an LCD? And there's this other technology called DLP, which looks a little bulkier. And, you know, generally what I tell people is, well, think about where you're going to put the TV and how close you're going to sit to it. You know, a lot of people say that if you're in a room with a lot of bright light coming in, that a plasma might not work as well, and LCD tends to work a little bit better in bright light. You know, the other thing to keep in mind if you're going to be sitting really close to your TV is what kind of resolution you want the screen to have, because there's a big debate out there over, well, do I need 720p or 1080p? And 1080p is kind of this higher resolution, sharper image. And you're really not going to notice
the
though.
Is it 780p, and P stands for progressive, it scans progressively?
Yeah, progressive scan. It basically has to do with how it puts the image up on the screen, whether it does the whole screen at once or every other line of resolution kind of alternating. So,
and 1080i is you got 300 more lines, but they're not progressively scanned.
Right, exactly. And so some stuff to keep in mind.
And I do understand there is something at the very high end of the HDV spectrum that maybe a lot of people can't afford this year.
Well, there, you know, it you can really kind of go as high up on the budget as you want to go. Panasonic was here in Dallas a few days ago to kind of show off some of their new sets, and their nicest TV, the most fun one they had, was their 103-inch plasma TV for $70,000.
I've had apartments smaller than that.
Yeah, you know, it was a little bit intimidating just to stand next to, but apparently Mark Cuban here in Dallas, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, was one of the first customers to actually get one in his house, so they are selling them, I guess.
Well, can't he just put it up as you know, one of the replay screens in his auditorium?
Well, you know, it's I guess, you know, in Texas everything likes to be a little bit bigger, so I guess he couldn't wait.
Our guests are Victor Godinez, who's the technology reporter for the Dallas Morning News. David Pogue is also with us, the person of technology columnist for the New York Times. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Rebecca. Rebecca calling from Marco Island in Florida.
Hi, Neil. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm delighted to actually be able to ask a question. I need to find a phone or a PDA that is very simple that the different people who are working in my company can all use.
PDA is a personal desk assistant, one of those BlackBerry kind of deals.
Yes.
Oh, David Pogue, what do you think?
Well, if you want something that is, in fact, a combination cell phone and palm-type organizer, then you've just ruled out simple. You know, all the BlackBerries and the Palms do email, and they do web surfing, and they do download additional programs to make them fancier. But I would highly recommend the BlackBerry Pearl. Absolutely beautiful, totally loaded, but organized in a very simple way as far as these go. And also, the Palm Centro is basically a Palm Trio smartphone, but it's only $100, and it does everything a Trio does, comes in a couple of different colors, but by issuing it to your employees, you're not stressing that it's going to, you know, if it gets lost, you're bankrupt.
I understand.
Both of them are very, very pleasant to use and as simple as you can find in a smartphone.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Rebecca, how many employees are going to find one of these in their stockings this year?
3, actually.
Oh, so it's not a huge...
Just the managerial staff.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, good luck and good shopping.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get... this is Davia. Am I pronouncing that right? Davia?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Go ahead.
I was looking for buying a GPS device this Christmas for myself in my car.
Oh, so TomTom or Garmin or one of those things?
Yeah, and I go to different electronic stores and I get different advice. Somebody says Garmin is good. The other guy says, well, TomTom is good. And I don't want to spend a fortune on this. I want just something that I can plug and play and use it straight out of the box. But I do want something that gives me clear instructions and directions and gives me the street name. So I was wondering if one of your guests can give me some advice on it.
Victor Godinez, what do you think?
Well, I've actually been trying out a couple of GPS devices in the last couple of weeks here. One of them was a TomTom device. I think it's the Go 720, if I remember the model number correctly. And I've really liked it. It's got, you know, a nice size screen, which to me is kind of the biggest thing on a GPS device, because if it's going to be sitting there on your dashboard and you want to be able to just glance at it really quickly, or ideally just kind of have it tell you where to go out loud, you know, you really don't want to have to mess with it too much. And I've really enjoyed that one. It's been really easy to use. The one drawback I had on that device was that it doesn't actually say the street names. It says turn right at the next light, 300 meters or whatever. And so, you know, if you're looking for something that will actually read out the street names, you might want to look around a bit. But the TomTom device that I've been checking out, I've been pretty pleased with. I think it's about $400.
Davia, good luck.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks very much. We're talking about some of the gadgets on your holiday wish list this year and what to buy or avoid. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back in just a moment. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan here in Washington. Holiday decorations popped up here at company headquarters this past week. Many of you will be hanging lights in the next couple of days, if in fact you haven't started already. If you need any advice, we've got the author of The Man's Guide for Holiday Lighting coming up later in the program. Email your questions now to talk@npr.org and stay with us for that conversation. Right now, what's the must-have gadget for your holiday wish list? If you have questions about what to get the techie in your family, you're at the right place. David Pogue is with us, the personal technology columnist for the New York Times, and Victor Godinez, technology reporter at the Dallas Morning News. You can join us by phone, 800-989-8255, by email, talk@npr.org, or you can join us on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's see if we can get, this is Mike on the line. Mike's with us from St. Louis.
Hi, Neil. I love your program, and I love David's column, and I like technical gadgets. But for years, I've been looking for a way to time shift audio. And there's, you know, it seems like it'd be simple to put an audio tuner in a VCR, you know, and then be able to record off of that. But and I've gone from cassette tapes to videotapes and now to MP3 players. But there doesn't seem to be a device that you can program and then, you know, just collect what you want, you know, at the end of the day. Is there anything like that out there for me?
David Pogue, is there a Radio TiVo?
There are. They're rare, and you're right. You don't hear about them, and you're also right. A lot of people want to know where are they. So because there are so few, there's not enough competition to make them truly wonderful, but they exist. One of them is called the Radio Your Way. It's from a company called Pogo Products. It's $150, and it's exactly what you say. It's a TiVo for radio.
Cool.
There's also something that connects to your computer called the Radio Shark. The thing looks like a shark's fin made of plastic. It connects via the USB port, and that's the antenna, basically, and it uses your computer to record and download the shows.
Mike?
That sounds great. So I've been, for years, I just wondered why. I mean, they did for the Rush Limbaugh show, they created a cassette tape of all idiotic things. And I thought, why can't they do this for the rest of us who listen to real radio?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you go to Google and type in TiVo for radio, you'll find what there is.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Mike, good luck, and we hope you'll be with us every afternoon.
Yeah, I usually am, but every now and then I miss it, and I need something to catch it.
Okay, thanks very much. Appreciate that. Let's go now to, this is Heather. Heather with us from Cleveland.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
I love your show. I listen to it all the time, and I'm very excited to be able to ask you this question. My husband and I are talking about buying ourselves for Christmas either an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3. And what we were kind of a little concerned about was the difference between Blu-ray technology and the high definition. And what do you think is going to win out in the market?
I have no clue, but Victor Godinez might.
Well, who's going to win? Kind of the million-dollar question. But I guess first of all, you do have a high-definition TV there at home?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, you know, in terms of, you know, which one you want to go for as a game system, I mean, they've both got a lot of games. The Xbox 360 has been out longer, so it's got more titles out there for it. And if you were just looking for the system with the greatest number of games, that'd be the one I'd recommend. On the high-definition movie player side, you know, for a long time, it looked like Blu-ray, which is the PlayStation 3 format. It looked like that was going to win out, but then there's been some maneuvering, by some of the companies supporting HD DVD to bring some of the movie studios over to their side, and you know, it's this whole battle with, you know, which studio is supporting which format, and it's kind of confusing, and frankly, you know, kind of a pain for a lot of customers and consumers. You know, the nice thing is that, you know, most of the movies are out on both formats now. There are some exclusives. You know, it's actually a pretty good time to be checking out the technology because this format war is encouraging the companies to sell their players pretty cheaply to try to win kind of mind share over. So if you go with the PlayStation 3, you get the Blu-ray player built in, and that's like $399. On the Xbox 360, the cheapest model there is about $300, and then you have to buy this HD DVD add-on for like $170. So it's still very much an early adopter stage, and no one really knows which one's going to win. But fortunately, the prices are coming down enough to the point where if you gamble and the technology you pick doesn't come out on top, it's not a huge loss. Personally, if I had to guess, I would say that Blu-ray probably has a slight advantage, but, you know, it could still go either way.
David,
this is David Pogue. I just throw in, too, that this Christmas there will be two players coming out that play both formats. They play both high-definition DVD styles, one's from LG and one's from Samsung. They're both going to be expensive at first, but $1,000. But just remember, in technology, good things come to those who wait.
Okay.
Right. I was just sitting there going, oh, I feel like I'm watching Beta and VHS all over again.
It totally is.
We all are.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And my Beta system is still blinking 12, Heather.
But thank you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. You too, Heather. Thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go now to, this is going to be Matt. Matt's with us from Ann Arbor in Michigan.
Hi. I'm a long-time listener. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to know about some laptops. I'm just getting a lot of information. There's so much out there. I'm a student, and I want kind of a cheap one, kind of like less than $800.
David Pogue, any advice?
You're right. It changes so fast, and there's so many different kinds. I mean, there's the 3-pounders that are for people who move around a lot. There's the big 17-inchers for people who want to replace a desktop with it. If I were you, I'd go to PCWorld.com, and they maintain a top 10 laptops list that they routinely update, like every week, as they continually test every brand. And if I were you, I'd pick the laptop style I'm looking for and see what they're saying this week.
Okay. And do you have any particular processors that's better than another, like AMD versus the Intel?
I don't think it matters. I mean, there's so many more important things than who made the chip. You know what I mean? Like the size of the screen, how the keyboard feels, how many USB ports it has, whether it has integrated cellular wireless. I just think that that's that's low on the list of priorities.
All right, well, I'll look at that website. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Matt.
Thanks, bye.
Here's an email we got from Bob in Stinson Beach in California. I've just had this slightly surreal experience. I purchased a brand new Sony Vaio with built-in Blu-ray drive, which is very cool, and is supposed to be able to output Blu-ray disc content to an HD TV. So I get all excited, and I get a new Blu-ray copy of The 300 to find out only that your display environment does not support protected content playback, which turns out to mean that my very slick, sharp Aquos TV, only a year and a half old, may not be HDCP compliant. I'm straight trying to figure out what this means. But what's up? Is this just another case of caveat emptor? Victor Godinez, can you help out Bob?
Yeah. He's running into kind of the modern hurdle to technology. You know, digital rights management, or DRM as it's called, this effort to, you know, by the content companies to kind of lock down their stuff and prevent it from being pirated. You know, a lot of times what you're going to find on any TV that has what's called an HDMI output jack on it, that's going to be able to let you pretty much run any video through it, and it'll support all any piracy software on there. And most TVs also that have what's called a DVI input can do the same thing. Basically, when you go to get your TV, or when you have a TV and you want to check with your manufacturer, I mean, you want to check and see if it has HDCP compliant outputs. I mean, it's a major pain, and a lot of these players, you know, it's not like a VCR where you could just plug it in and go, or even a DVD now, but they're really wanting to lock down a lot of this content, and, you know, you're going to really need to check the documentation and check with the manufacturer and see, make sure you've got a TV that can support that, because, you know, especially if you're looking to kind of get into this whole Blu-ray and HD DVD thing and you know, get into that, format war a little bit, you know, they're really going to be locking this stuff down with this sort of anti-piracy software, and you want to make sure your TV can support it. So, it sounds like he might just be kind of in a tough place there.
Well, all right. We'll hope that he solves it there. Let's go now to Paul. Paul calling us from Lansing in Michigan.
Yes, I have a comment and a what I call question comment.
Okay.
I'm legally blind, and for us, there's going to be very little in our Christmas stocking, because most of the cool things you sighted people enjoy have a screen which requires vision to be able to read it. There is very little that is available at a reasonable cost that is voiced. Right now, I'm looking for a cell phone at a reasonable price that comes with a plan at a reasonable price that is voiced, so I can do my own setup, make my own changes without requiring a sighted person to do it, and I'm coming up empty.
David Pogue, any advice?
I'm afraid this is just not something I've researched. It's a great point.
It just isn't thought about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It sure isn't.
If you go blind, you're going to be sorry.
I suspect he will be. But nevertheless, any advice where you might point him toward research, David?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but I would use Google. Google knows all.
Okay,
if it exists, Google will find it.
That's fine, but you know what? You buy a $600 computer if you're blind. You've got to buy a $1,000 screen reader to unlock everything and make it sound.
I don't know about that. I've just reviewed the Mac operating system, Tiger, and they've considerably beefed up its integrated screen reader, which is called VoiceOver, to the extent where you literally feel the screen. You hold down the control key, and as you hit the arrow keys to move the highlight around the screen, it reads to you everything it's bumping into and lets you operate menus, checkboxes, radio buttons, and it's absolutely free and built into the operating system.
Is it going to read the text?
It reads all the text to you, including, you know, the names of pictures on websites and the bookmarks and the buttons and the close button and the minimize button, everything.
I know that the Cadillac of the verbal screen readers, JAWS, is a grand.
Yeah.
How much is Tiger, then?
That is the most versatile screen reader that's available today.
Yeah, this one has, I don't believe it's the Cadillac, but it's come a long, long way, and I did spend a good while experimenting with it. Although I'm not blind, it was indeed easy to navigate the screen with the keys and hear everything read aloud to me that it was bumping into to sort of feel your way around the screen, and that is built in to every Macintosh. So you could get.
They feel. Are you going to have the sense of touch to do that, or are you basically using your arrow keys?
I'm using quotes around feel the screen. In other words, you use the arrow keys to maneuver around what's on the screen, and everything it touches is read out loud to you.
Okay.
Paul, good luck.
Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving.
And he knows nothing about cell phones, I take it.
Nope.
I'm afraid I haven't looked into it. Sorry.
Very unfortunate.
Okay.
I wish industry would do more.
We wish so, too. Thanks very much for the call. Our guests are David Pogue, personal technology columnist for The New York Times, and Victor Godinez, technology reporter for the Dallas Morning News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's a question we got from email. Hi, I live near Kansas City, Missouri. I want to be able to podcast on something portable, especially NPR. What's the difference between iPods and MP3 players? I want my favorite NPR programs when I can't listen live. Thanks from Sandy. He also sends us a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks very much for that, Sandy. Victor Godinez, any suggestions for Sandy?
Well, yeah. Well, the important thing to remember is, even though, these broadcasts, that are recorded online are called podcasts, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have an iPod to listen to them. Most of them are going to be recorded in just plain old MP3 format, and really just about any portable player, digital audio player on the market is going to support that. It's kind of one of those things where we all call bathroom tissue Kleenex, but that doesn't mean they're all made by Kleenex. And so it's kind of like on a podcast, just because it has the word pod in it doesn't mean it's iPod only. And so most of the audio shows, it varies depending on who posts them up there. But, if it's stored in an MP3 format, really almost any digital MP3 player should be able to handle it.
And just to clarify the answer there, an iPod is an MP3 player, so there
right.
is no difference.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's get Angela on the line. Angela with us from Ypsilanti in Michigan.
Hi, I'm looking for a stereo system with a turntable on it that allows you to record from an LP to a CD that's a reasonable price.
Converting LPs, our favorite old vinyl, into digital recording formats. David Pogue, any advice on that?
Yeah, there are two on the market. I reviewed one. It's in the one of those airline catalogs, and I found that the audio quality was pretty horrible. I'm even spacing on. Victor, do you remember the name of that thing?
I don't, but I'm familiar with the technology, and there are a couple out there.
But I do have a better suggestion, though.
Okay.
There's a thing. Do you have a computer?
Yes.
So if you bought what you're describing, a CD burner with a turntable to convert your old LPs, you're buying something you already have, right? You're buying another CD burner. So if you have a computer, you can save a lot of money and get much better audio quality by buying just the turntable. And they make one that connects directly to a Mac or a PC.
Oh.
Called the Ion, the company's Ion Audio ITT USB. ITT USB. And it's really, really cool. And people are having great luck converting their record collections. So you save a lot of money. It's, I think, $170.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so you're not wasting your time buying another duplicate set of speakers and another duplicate CD burner. And like I say, it comes with software on the screen that listens to the records as they're played off of this turntable and converts it into audio files, which you can then put on your iPod, put on a CD, organize in folders, anything you like.
And do you have to put a quarter on the tone arm?
Fortunately, no.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Angela, thanks for the call.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. And before we let you guys go, David Pogue, if you could add one thing in your Christmas stocking this year, what would it be?
Well, this is going to sound unbelievably utilitarian, but for $50, you can buy from Sears this thing called the Die Hard Power Inverter 400. It's two three-prong power outlets for your car.
Wow.
Plugged into the cigarette lighter, it's surge suppressed and fan cooled, and you can plug anything into it, your laptop or whatever you're watching in the car. I think cars should come with outlets, but this will give you two of them.
Victor Godinez, what are you looking forward to?
Well, the one thing I've seen out there that really kind of struck me is, gee, why didn't someone think of this before, was this $99 SD memory card for digital cameras. It's called the iFi, and it has built-in Wi-Fi transmitter in the memory card,
So when you have the memory card in your camera and your PC is on a wireless network, you can automatically send the pictures wirelessly from your camera right to your computer, so you never have to fumble around for a USB cord in the back of your PC and, you know, get all the software open and sit down that way. And, you know, especially it'd be great, too, around Christmas, you're taking a bunch of pictures. You don't want to be the guy retreating to the den to kind of put all the pictures on your PC. This way you can just fire them off wirelessly. I think that looks really cool.
Victor Godinez, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to a happy Christmas for you, too.
Thanks, you too.
Victor Godinez of the Dallas Morning News. David Pogue, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.
David Pogue, the personal technology columnist for The New York Times. Holiday lighting next. This is NPR News.